morning and welcome to the service. We have an opportunity to come together this morning to study God's Word, and I'm encouraged by your presence. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 14 in just a moment, we want to read that passage of Scripture there where we're told that a woman came and anointed Jesus. And there's a statement that is made about her that we want to look at with regard to our lesson this morning, where Jesus says, "She hath done what she could." I want us to think, brethren and friends, this morning about the importance of serving God where you are with what you have. And what I mean by that is that we simply need to be busy being faithful to the Lord with what God gives us, and not be looking out and comparing ourselves with others and being discouraged by that. We simply need to serve God where we are with what we have. Sometimes local churches will become discouraged and they'll stop being busy in their service. And we need to ask ourselves, are we staying busy or are we discouraged? Sometimes local churches can become discouraged by their size. Well, we're not as big as other churches, or we don't have certain things that other churches have. And so we just simply stop serving and stop growing. A lot of times, maybe a local congregation will look back at the way things were. Well, we used to be bigger years ago, and we used to have more young people years ago, and we used to have elders and deacons years ago. And there's certainly nothing wrong with looking back with regard to learning lessons and things like that. But if we are constantly looking back in comparison at the way things used to be, then we may stop growing and stop serving in the here and now. We're so busy looking backward and comparing ourselves with the way things are and the way things used to be that we stop working and serving the Lord. Sometimes a local congregation will simply look around and compare themselves with other local churches. And years ago, when there were fewer churches, brethren wouldn't do that. They would simply be a member of one congregation and they would busy themselves. They would roll up their sleeves and get busy and serve the Lord and be happy. But as other congregations came along, and especially nearby, just a few miles away, then we start seeing, well, they're bigger and they have more young people and they have this and they have that. And they begin to become discouraged and dissatisfied, and they stop working, and they may go to another place and stay there for a little while. I know that from personal experience. I have been in larger metropolitan areas where there have been several congregations with just in a few miles of each other. I've been in situations where there would be one congregation a mile or two from another congregation. And being in a situation like that, it's almost like a revolving door. People coming in and people going. People coming in and people going. They're not satisfied. They're not working diligently in the group where they're at. They'll stay for a little while and then they'll go somewhere else. And then you'll get a new family come in who are worshiping just a couple of miles down the road. Well, we got dissatisfied with that and we want to be here. And they're there for 6 months or a year and then they're gone. Now, there's nothing wrong with moving if we need to avoid error or something along those lines. If there is error in the pulpit, or if the elders are doing something unscriptural, and we may need to go somewhere else. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just simply comparing ourselves with something else. Well, that's what we want for a little while. Well, the problem with that is a couple of problems. First of all, brethren like that are never satisfied. They go somewhere else and they stay there for 6 months, and then they go somewhere else and then they go somewhere else. They're never satisfied. And number two, they rarely are working at the time and place where they're at. They will not roll up their sleeves and get busy working hard where they're at. A lot of times we spend our time looking around and comparing ourselves with other congregations. Well, they have elders and we don't. And they have young people and we don't. And they have over 100 people and we don't. We just simply, brethren, need to be serving God where we are with what we have and be busy doing that. And we're going to learn from this woman and other Bible examples that that's really what God wants. We need to learn to serve God where we are now with what we have now. Let's turn our attention now to Mark chapter 14. I want to read together verses 3 through 9. shortly before Jesus goes to the cross, a woman comes and anoints Jesus. And what we're going to find in this story and other Bible stories is what God wants, what He wants, is not the mentality of looking out and comparing ourselves with others and church hopping and always dissatisfied and always looking for greener pastures. What God wants consistently throughout His Word is you serve me with what you have now, where you are now. You are enjoying that. You're content with that. You're loving that. You're serving me in that. That's what God wants. Look at Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. Mark records, "And while he, Jesus, was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster cruse of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she brake the cruse and poured it over his head. But there were some that had indignation among themselves, saying, To what purpose hath this waste of ointment been made? For this ointment might have been sold for above 300 shillings and given to the poor. And they murmured against her. But Jesus said, Leave her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor always with you, and whensoever you will, you can do them good. But me you have not always." He was about to go to the cross. "She hath done what she could." You underscore that in your Bible. "She hath done what she could. She hath anointed my body beforehand for the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." And we're reading about her some 2,000 years later in the memorial of God's Word. We're reading about this woman who had some ointment that was very costly to her, and she was willing to anoint Jesus' head with that. And Jesus said she had done what she could. She just simply did with what she had at the moment she had it and where she was in life and with what she had in life. That's what she used. And that's why she's in the record book. She's in the record book, and we're reading about her some 2,000 years later because that's what God wants. Now, this woman could have said, "Well, I don't have what somebody else in town has, so I'm not going to do anything. Or I don't have the abilities that somebody else in town has, and so I'm not going to do anything." She just simply came to Jesus and anointed Him where she was with what she had. You stop and think about other people who gave things to the Lord. And Jesus is going to come into town riding on a donkey. Well, a man gave that to his disciples for his use. She could have said, "Well, I don't have a donkey, so I'm not going to do anything." You stop and think about Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man who had his own tomb that would have been very expensive in that time. He gave up his own tomb for Jesus to have his body put in there. But the woman could have said, "Well, I'm not Joseph of Arimathea, and I don't have a tomb, and look at what he's got, and I don't have that, so I'm just not going to do anything." No, she said, "I've got some ointment here. I'm going to use that." We've got to stop comparing ourselves with others and what others might have and what others might do, and just simply serve God where we are with what we have. And not just in a matter of a drudgery or a have to, but enjoy that and be blessed by that. This woman wanted to do that for Jesus, and she is memorialized by Him for doing that. And so, we'll come back to her more in just a moment. We simply need to serve God where we are with what we have. I want you to think for just a moment before we go any further about the song that we sang this morning. You may not have realized, but every song we sang this morning was written by Fanny J. Crosby, a woman who lived back in the 1800s and passed away in the 1900s. Even the invitation song that we're going to sing in just a moment was written by Fanny J. Crosby. I don't know if she ever became a member of the church, but I do know this. She was very religious, and she was blinded by a condition at age 6. She was operating on her. She was blinded at age 6. And she used her talents to write hundreds of songs, many of them that we sing. Every one that we sang this morning was written by her. When she died and passed away, on her tombstone, it was engraved, "She has done what she could."
And I think about that. And you know, that is an apt description of her life. She didn't say, well, I was blinded and I can't do anything. Or look at what was done to me. Remember, she wasn't born that way. And she didn't do anything to cause that. A doctor operating on her in a wrong way made her blind. She didn't sit there the rest of her life and sulk and complain and compare her life with somebody else's life and look at all those others. She just did what she could with what God gave her. And we're the recipients of it because we sing hundreds of songs from her pen.
It's been said at the end of her life that she said the following, and I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not quoting, you can get the quotation online. But she said at the end of her life that she was thankful that God gave her that blindness in the way that He did through His providence, because had she been able to see all throughout her life, she may have been distracted with her eyes looking out about the things of this life and would not have focused on writing those songs. She was grateful that she was blinded so that she could focus on writing religious songs. Would you have approached your disability that way? Would I have approached a disability that way? You ever thought about the handicapped? Have you ever seen handicapped individuals carrying on in life and working through life and making something of their life? Yeah, we see that all the time. We see someone in a wheelchair. We see someone who's blind. We see someone who's deaf. There are people all around us with handicaps, and they're doing what they can with what they have. And some of them are members of the church. That's really what God wants. And so, brethren, this morning is simply the matter of this woman in Mark chapter 14, where Jesus said of her, she had done what she could, verse 8. I want us to think about that, and let's look at some other Bible examples. We're a small congregation, but we can do what we can where we are with what we have. And let's not be looking about and comparing ourselves with other kinds of situations. In the gospel meeting recently down in Shelbyville, it was brought to my attention that some of the brethren there are discouraged because over 75% of the congregation is elderly, in their 70s and in their 80s and in their 90s. Over 75% of the congregation, just very few young people. And they're getting discouraged because we don't have any young people and that type of thing. And they're getting smaller every year because of deaths and passing away. Well, we simply need to serve God where we are with what we have. And we can't be, well, the other church in town, and there's two other congregations in town. Well, the other church in town, they got a bunch of young people. And the other church in town, they're twice as big as we are. They're about 70 or 80 in number. With that mentality, we'll stop working. And when we stop working, we'll stop growing. I encourage them to serve God where they were with what they have. And I want us to have that same encouragement this morning. Let's begin with the scripture reading that we had, and let's look at an Old Testament example this morning with the matter of rebuilding the temple. We'll get to Zechariah in just a moment, but turn with me to the book of Ezra. What we're going to do now is we're going to look at some Bible examples. I want to look at some Bible examples, seven of them this morning, briefly, of individuals who simply served God where they were with what they had. And the first one is taken from the Old Testament in the book of Ezra. God's people came back from the Babylonian captivity and they were told by God to rebuild the temple. Zerubbabel was to be the one to lead God's people to rebuild the temple. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12. When they laid the foundation, remember, Solomon's temple had been destroyed when the Babylonians came into town. So they destroyed the temple. So when God's people come back into Jerusalem, the temple is leveled. They've got to start all over again. And so they start with the foundation under the building of Zerubbabel. Well, look at Ezra 3:12. When they laid the foundation on the same place as Solomon's temple, many of the priests and the Levites and the head of the fathers' houses, the old men that had seen the first house, that's Solomon's temple, before the Babylonians came, when the foundation of this house was laid, that's the new one that Zerubbabel laid, before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. Why is there some joyous? Well, we're rebuilding the temple, but why are some weeping when they saw the foundation of the new temple? They saw that it was smaller than the old one. Verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. And it says the old men, those that had seen the older house, they saw how that it was bigger. Now they're seeing a new one, and it's smaller, and they're, oh, what are we going to do? This is not good. Do you know what happened? They stopped right there. They didn't build any more. Part of it was due to the fact that there was opposition from the outside. Look at chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There was opposition, and people weakened their hands, and people hired counselors against them. You can't rebuild this. You're not going to be able to get this done. And so they stopped working in part because of discouragement from the outside. But listen to me. Part of it was because of their own internal discouragement in seeing that, well, we're smaller now, and so what are we going to do? So look at chapter 4. And verse 24. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. They stopped working, brethren. They allowed discouragement and smaller size to get them to stop working. That's the problem with this. It's not just a matter of, well, we shouldn't compare ourselves with others. The devil uses that to get us to stop working. So look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. God stirs up the prophets Haggai and Zechariah. And we have books in our Bible, Haggai and Zechariah. Those books were written to stir God's people up to finish building that temple. And they did that. Look at chapter 6 then. Chapter 6 in verse 15. And this house was finished on the third day of the month, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius. So from the second year to the sixth year, it took them 4 years to finish that temple. And it was because Haggai and Zechariah stirred them up. Now turn with me now to Zechariah chapter 4. Brethren, we've got to be busy doing the Lord's work where we are with what we have. We have about 30 members. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's 3 or 30 or 300 or 3,000. It doesn't matter. We can faithfully serve the Lord and enjoy it and be unified and work whether if we have 30 or 300. It doesn't matter. One congregation I worked with when I was in college, there were 5 brethren. 5. We just simply worked where we were with what we had. And brethren, that's what I want us to encourage us this morning. We're working, and I want us to keep doing that, remain unified, be here present, work together, and we'll be blessed by God. That's all He wants. She had done what she could. That's all God wants. In Zechariah chapter 4, the scripture reading that Matthew had earlier, how does that tie in? Well, God comes to Haggai and Zechariah, and through them encourages the people to rebuild that temple. And look at what He says in verse 6. That temple is going to be finished not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. It's not going to get done because you rely upon man. It's going to get done when you obey my word and follow my word and do what God's word says. That's how it's going to get done. You might be smaller as a group of people. The temple might be physically smaller, and it was, but it'll get done by my Spirit. In other words, when you obey me and follow my Spirit and follow my word. And look at verse 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. When? When people stop getting discouraged by outsiders, chapter 4, verse 5. And when people stop looking at the size of the new temple, and they get busy just simply doing what God wants. And so look at verse 10. Who hath despised the day of small things? You know what that refers to? That refers back to Ezra chapter 3, when they saw that the temple was going to be smaller, and some of them had the attitude, well,
well, that it's not as big, and so this is not a good work. No, it is a good work. We're not going to despise that. We're not going to put that down. We're not going to belittle that. We're going to get busy finishing God's Word. And so, even Zerubbabel's hands needed to be strengthened, encouraged by Zechariah to finish that. Even leadership gets discouraged from time to time. But we all need to understand that we can serve God with 3 or 30 or 300 or 3,000. It doesn't matter. It's all by at the end of the day, it's all going to be by the Spirit of God. It's not going to be by might or power or some physical strength that we wish that we might have had. It's simply going to get done when we're obedient to God and His Word. We love God and His Word, and we're busy doing that. Let's look at a New Testament example in Matthew chapter 25. We're very familiar with the parable of the talents. The one talent man, the two talent man, the five talent man. And we're familiar with this story that Jesus teaches. And what He's teaching is that God gives us talents according to our abilities and our size. And He wants us to be busy working within that and not bury our talent. And so the five talent man doubled his. Verse 20 and 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the two talent man, verses 22 and 23, doubled his. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the one talent man went out and buried his. Well, hey, I'm not the two-talent man, and I'm not the five-talent man, so I just can't do anything. No, God gives us different sizes, different abilities, different ways in which we can do what He wants us to do. We need to be busy doing that. We don't want to hear, verse 30, cast out the unprofitable servant. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear verse 26, wicked and slothful, lazy servant. We want to hear verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to hear verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. They just simply got busy with what the Master gave them. Serve God where you are with what you have. And that includes even the things that God has blessed us with. Our car, our home, other provisions that we have, our income. Whatever God gives us in life, we're busy serving. Well, my car is not like somebody else's. And my home is not like somebody else's. And my income is not like somebody else's. What God gives us, one talent, two talents, five talents, we're going to be busy serving. And it's a great lesson. Let's look at another example in this story. Go back with me to Mark chapter 14 and the story of the woman who just simply did what she could. That's what God is asking of us. God is not asking of us to look out and compare ourselves with others and be sidetracked by that, but just simply what I give you, be busy using that. But I want to notice a couple of things here about her abilities and what she used. Notice, first of all, that she served God despite the great sacrifice. Notice in verse 3 and 4 that it is a very costly ointment. This was a cost for her. This was a sacrifice for her. It's all she had, but she wanted to use that on the Lord. And you stop and think about it. When we do things for the Lord and serve our brethren and serve others and work in the local church, sometimes that involves sacrifice. But that's what the Lord wants. And number two, she served the Lord despite the discouragement and the complaint. This woman had courage to persevere through. Look at verse 4. They were saying, what a waste this is. You don't think she heard that? You don't think she heard that? Can you imagine anointing Jesus and you're sacrificing a very costly ointment, and right next door here, there's people stand by, oh, what a waste. This could have been sold for a lot of money. And she's hearing that. But she has the courage to persevere through that. She's not going to let something like that dissuade her. Notice, first of all, her sacrifice. Notice, secondly, her courage. And it says in verse 5, that they murmured against her. This woman was not going to let something like that stand in her way. And we're not going to let somebody murmuring, well, you're not as big as another congregation, and you don't have elders and deacons, and you don't have young people. We're not going to let murmuring and complaining like that
dissuade us from our focus to serve the Lord. And let us not be in that party. Let me ask you this. Would you have rather been in the group serving Jesus or in the group murmuring and complaining about what could have been done with the money? All of us here this morning would like to be that woman. Not in that group of men standing by, and they murmured against her. Let's be among those who are serving God where we are with what we have. Let's look at another Bible example. This is what I call the "What About John" passage. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Well, what about the congregation in the town next door to us? Well, what about them? And they have this and they have that and we don't have that. What about them? No, we just simply are serving God where we are with what we have. You remember the story after Jesus' resurrection? Jesus is instructing Peter, "Follow me and feed my sheep." In other words, you've got a work to do. You focus on what you need to do. Look at verse 20. Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following, also leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter therefore seeing him, that is, he saw John, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus is walking by Peter, saying, "Feed my sheep, follow me, feed my sheep." Peter turns around and sees John. Well, what about this guy over here? What did Jesus say to Peter? Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? You follow me." What did Jesus say to Peter? Don't worry about me. Peter's saying, "What about John?" And we get in that mode sometimes. Well, what about this church over here? Look at what they're doing and look at what they have. What about them? You follow me. And so Memorial Boulevard, let us stay focused on what we need to do. Let's focus on ourselves in the sense, not in a selfish way, but in the sense of fulfilling what God gives us. Look at verse 23. What is it to thee? You follow me. Memorial Boulevard, you follow me. That's really what it's all about. Let's focus on what we need to be doing and not what others may or may not have in comparison. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Here's another great example of just simply serving God with what we have and what is important in life. You remember the story of Peter healing the lame man in the temple? They're going up into the temple at the hour of prayer and they see this lame man who had been carried there and he was begging. Just a poor sight. You stop and think about how that his physical condition kept him from having a job to work and so forth, and he's very poor and he's begging for alms. He needs a physical handout. And look at what Peter is there for, another purpose. Peter is there to preach. Peter is there to work a miracle that confirms the Word of God. So when he passes by, verse 4, Peter fastened his eyes upon him, and John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them, expecting to receive a physical handout, some money, some alms. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What I have, I give thee. That really is a lesson that we're simply going to offer what we have. And in this case, what was most needful was this man to be focused on Jesus and not on physical alms. As a result of this miracle, people are brought together. They hear the Word of God more. Of course, Peter and John are put in prison as a result of this miracle. But Peter said, "What I have, that is what I give you." That's what you need the most right now. And we need to be focusing on that, not on what we don't have. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have that to give you, but what I have, that is what I'm going to give you. And that's what we need to focus on. No, we don't have elders, and we don't have deacons, and we don't have 150 members, and we don't have a lot of things that other churches have. That's just the truth of it. But what we have, we're going to use to serve the Lord. And in the matter of elders and deacons, and in the matter of numbers and growing, we're going to work hard to have that. But until we get that, we're not going to just simply give up and become discouraged and stop working. We're going to be busy doing what we need to do. These are great Bible examples that I hope encourage us along those lines. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11 with regard to sending to the needy saints in Jerusalem. There was a famine and brethren were in need. And I'm wondering about the coming situation in our own country where more and more brethren will find themselves in need. That's a very, very possibility. Down the road, and we may find ourselves in a very similar situation where we're in need physically or others are in need. So brethren, rallying together to help brethren. But notice in Acts chapter 11, in verse 29, when Agabus stood up and said that there would be a famine over all the world, look at verse 29, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to receive, send relief unto the brethren. They simply did what they were able to do. God gives us an ability. And God expects us to live up to that and work within that, but not beyond that. We're not to compare ourselves. Well, we're over here in Antioch, and if we can't give what other brethren are giving, then we're just not going to give. No, they don't. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 with regard to the Corinthian brethren giving of their means. Paul reminded them to get their contribution ready in order to send to those needy saints in Judea. And we find in Acts chapter 8, as he reminds them in verse 12, "For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable." Look at it. "According as a man hath, not according as he hath not." I'm simply wanting to give what you have, not what you don't have. Work with what you have, give that, and have that ready. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for what we have, not what we don't have. And so what we have here at Memorial Boulevard, that's our ability. That's what we have right now. We work within that. We give that. And look back with regard to the Macedonian brethren. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. The Macedonian brethren, look at verse 2. They gave from their deep poverty. They just simply worked with what they had. But what made them do that, verse 5, was giving themselves to the Lord. When you give yourself first to the Lord, and that is what is your first obligation, that each day I get up, I'm going to serve the Lord. We could even be poor and work within that to give. When we're serving the Lord first, verse 5, it doesn't matter what our ability is, small or great, we're going to work within that. We're going to serve God where we are with what we have. And then last of all, look at the example of Revelation chapter 2. This is the church at Philadelphia. They're commended for their small size. They're commended for serving God and being faithful even though they're small. Let's start reading in verse 7. John greets the church there. "These things say to Jesus that is holy, and he that is true, and he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and none shall shut, and he that shutteth and none openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that you have a little power." I believe that refers to the small size, a small congregation in some way. "You have a little power, and you did keep my word, and you did not deny my name." Now let's go back through and just break down verse 8 piece by piece. Look at this. This is a small congregation. But look at verse 8. The first thing he says is, "I have set before thee a door open." That in the New Testament, an open door is not a physically open door. It means a door of opportunity. Colossians 4:3, 1 Corinthians 16, the last part there. An open door means opportunity. Number one, you can be a small church and God is still going to open up doors of opportunity in your community to serve the Lord, to preach the gospel. And we have that. We send out flyers. We talk with neighbors. Bible studies are set up. Listen, we may be small, but God is still going to give us opportunities to grow. And we need to walk through those doors. Number two, look at verse 8. "Even though they were small, you kept my word and you did not deny my name." They were faithful in their service to God's word, even though they were small. Let's look at another thing. Look at verse 9. Here's the small church. I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews and they are not. These are unbelievers in town. These are non-Christians. They lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. What does that mean? Well, it can mean a couple of things. But overall, it means that these unbelievers in town are going to come and recognize that they are a faithful church. Even though you're small, God said the unbelievers in town are still going to recognize that you're right with God and that God is right with you. They're going to come and worship before thy feet and know that I have loved thee. Small, they're still accepted by God and the people to admit that. Verse 10, they have kept my word, even though they're small. So, brethren, the point is this. Let's not focus on our size. Let's focus on our service and on our faithfulness. And whether it's 3 or 30 or 300 or 3,000, we're going to be faithful to God. Serve God where you are is what you have. That's what this woman did. She had done what she did. And what was put in her lap by God, she used that in turn to anoint His Son before going to the cross. And we need to be doing that here. I believe we are doing that. And I want us to continue doing that. Let's stop looking back and let's just be busy serving the Lord. It may be that you need to start that this morning. We're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement by stepping forward and repenting. This matter of serving God where you are, this also applies to becoming a Christian. There have been cases before in other places where I've talked with folks that need to obey the gospel. And they'll say, well, you know, Chris, when I get this worked out in my life, and when I get that worked out in my life, and something with my job, and something with my marriage, and something with my kids, and something around the house, then I'll have more time. No, just do it now. Just do it now. I talked with one person like that. To this day, I don't know if he's ever obeyed the gospel. And he was in his 50s then, and that was 20 years ago. He said, Chris, I know I need to do that, but at work, there's some things that... It's this idea of always looking out and compare. Just right now, today, October the 16th, today, serve God where you are. And that may mean for you stepping forward, obeying the gospel, repenting of your sins. The water is ready. The garments are ready right now. And as a Christian, it may mean that we need to come back in some way. Or it may mean that we just stop looking back. We're not going to look around and compare ourselves with others. We're just simply going to start serving. You know, the runner running the race, he's not going to finish first if he's always looking around and comparing himself and looking back. You've got to look forward and just serve God where you are with what you have. We're blessed with young people. We're blessed with members of the church. Let's just simply continue to work together. Single folks, married folks, those that are younger, those that are older, let's just be busy serving the Lord. Yes, there's other congregations. We're aware of that. But what God wants us to focus on is where we are with what we have, doing what God wants. Let's overcome any discouragement or despondency or depression that we might have and just simply serve. At the end of this letter to Philadelphia, Jesus says, He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. One thing we might need to overcome is just simply this comparison approach to things. Well, look at what other people have. And just simply serve God where we are. Notice that that woman, Jesus said, when the gospel is preached, it will be a memorial of her. Well, who are we reading about? Who are we reading about 2,000 years later? The woman who just simply did what she could. That's who we're reading about. We're not reading about the complainers and the discouragers and those that are depressed and those that stop working. What are we reading about? Who are we reading about? The one who just simply did what she could with what she had. And that's all that God asks. And he asked you this morning to do that very thing. If you're subject to the invitation, just simply do what you need to do. And if, as a member of this church, we need to be more active in serving, let's do that. Listen, we all have different health situations. Well, if I just had better health, we all have different health situations. We all have different financial situations. We all have different time situations. Whatever God gives you, you just simply get up each day and use that. And the Lord will be happy with that. And the Lord will reward you for that. If you need to get up right now and respond to the gospel and begin serving Him right here and now, why won't you come as we stand and sing?